And the Lord led me to Luke chapter 18. And this gave me some insights into prayer. Of course, I'd read this passage many times, just perhaps like you have, but I still felt that something special happened to me when I read this story beginning from verse 9. Now, this story is a masterpiece, and I say that because it means this story, which was given in like AD dot, if you like, and now we're reading it in 2019, it's just as relevant now as it was then. And not only that, this story is relevant in New Guinea. This story could be read in Iran or Afghanistan or any country in the world. That's why it's a masterpiece. So verse 9 says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves." Now, you've met people like that, haven't you? You've met people who just believe in themselves. "I believe in myself. I'm all right. I'm successful. I've done well. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to in any way address God. I've done everything by myself. And look, look, look what I've got. The boat, the 4WD, the house, the family, a good job. Look at who I am. I trust in myself." And there's someone else here that you may recognize too. "He spoke the parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous," or we would say self-righteous. Now, you've met this person. This person says, "I am good enough. I don't need to go to church. Look, I'm a very good person. I do a lot of good things for people. I'm a good living person. I'm a good person. And if there is ever a day that comes when I may have to face some superior being, I'll be able to say, well, look, I'm a good person." Now, the Lord wants to say something to that person, who trusts in themselves, or to that person who feels they're self-righteous, and to anyone else who despises other people. Anyone who looks down on another person and says, "You're a loser. It's your fault. You deserve to be there. I mean, look at how hard I've worked. You've got to get up and you've got to work as hard as I am. And then we might sort of believe in you. But right now, we really think that you're there because you deserve to be there." Anyone who looks down on another person. Now, there's some religion in here, isn't there? Remember how the Hindu walks on by and sees this person? They say, "Well, you deserve to be there because of what you've done in a past life. So it's your fault. So therefore, I don't feel any compulsion at all to help you because you deserve it." Now, the Islamic man comes by and he says, "Well, this is a very sad case, but it's the will of Allah. So they don't have to do anything. They don't have to give. They don't have to extend themselves because it's the will of Allah." But when the Christian walks on by, then our hearts are filled with compassion. 2 Corinthians 5:14. So there are these people who trust in themselves, who are self-righteous, who are in deep trouble. We look down upon them. Verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. It's all about me. It's very much attuned to this culture that we have in Australia that is what I call a me society. Prayed about himself. And he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. So he's boasting to God. He's bragging about what he's like. He's really boasting about his whole lifestyle. And he even goes on to talk about his religion in the very next verse. He says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I possess. He's very, very arrogant. Now that prayer is not how to pray. That prayer does not go into God's heart because of its arrogance and because of its boasting and its self-righteousness. So what is the prayer that does go into God's heart? Well, it's verse 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Just a one-sentence prayer. But notice the elements that are in this prayer. Firstly, he's humble. I mean, he doesn't really feel as though he deserves to be there. He doesn't even feel as though he deserves to be forgiven. He knows that only too well. That he's in a state of fallenness. He realizes that he's a fallen human being. And very humbly, he says to God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And then also notice how honest he is. This is just one sentence, and it's all here in this one sentence. He's very, very honest. He says to God, I'm a sinner. I realize that I can't even keep up to my own standards, let alone anybody else's standards, but I can't keep up to your standards. I'm a sinner. And he tells God that. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then the third element in this one-sentence prayer is this. He trusted in God. He relied upon the Lord. He gave God his rightful place. You see, he might have been to therapy. Some help there, perhaps. Might have been to counseling. He may have even tried other religions. All of those things. But he's come to this point, and it's right here in this prayer. God, you be merciful to me, a sinner. It's a great prayer. And it's the prayer that goes into God's heart. And it's the prayer that receives an answer, as we'll see in just a moment. But I just take this little moment to suggest to you that if you've been wondering how to enter into the kingdom of God, if you've been a little bit confused about what to do, or how to go about it, or how to get to that point where I do make my personal commitment to the Lord, here it is right here. This very simple prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when we pray that prayer, the Lord Jesus will enter into our hearts, into our lives, because we'll receive his forgiveness, the forgiveness that comes from the cross where he died for our sins. We'll receive his mercy. I mean, what about the thief on the cross? The two of them are abusing Jesus, and one of them must have listened to some of the words that Jesus said, like, Father, forgive them, like, it is finished. He must have sort of heard those words, because there's a change of heart that takes place with him. I mean, he's angry, he's cranky, he's grumbling, he's abusive. So is the other one. But in that time that he's on the cross, he starts to think. He starts to ponder. He starts to wonder, now, is it possible that I can go into paradise with Jesus? And he said to the Lord, can I come into your kingdom? And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. I mean, absolutely amazing. Just shows you, doesn't it, a change of heart can take place when we look at Jesus. See him on the cross. See him at the resurrection. See him as he moves about following the resurrection. And then we come to appreciate that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is real, and that what he did on the cross was telling us that God loves us with an astonishing love. So the thief on the cross, and for us tonight, as we're pondering these things, this is the prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that will be the beginning of answered prayers. So in closing, our last verse is verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. What a great word that is. Justified. He's been set free. He's been forgiven. Just as if he had never sinned. What an amazing thing that is. Because we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can only receive this wonderful gift of God's love and God's grace. So he went home justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. Let's close in prayer, shall we?